Welcome to Soar with Kate on the Coach on Fire Network on Blog Talk Radio. Today, my special guest is Sophia Wren, and we are talking about how to release the energies of 2015 and bring in the new, refreshed and beautiful intentions for 2016. Welcome, Sophia. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Oh, thank you for coming. It's been great. It's great to have you on here today. So, I would like to know, when you look back over the past year and you think about all the amazing things that happened and all the things that may not have gone according to plan, but the lessons that you learnt over the year, how do you go about releasing the past year in order to make room for the fresh new energy that's coming in for 2016?
That's a really good question, and I feel like I have a couple parts to my answer, but one thing I love to do is I love celebrating. So I love making lists of all the good things that have happened, that I've done, that I've learned, whether it's today or it's looking at a whole year. I still love to just take stock of those things, and I like to start positive like that. And then if there's something I still haven't done, I really believe in forgiveness. So I actually have a process I use, and I've been teaching it, because I think everyone should know about forgiveness, not just in our mind, but really letting it out of our body. I believe that sometimes when things happen, we kind of squish it, and we kind of hold it in our body, and in our minds and our spirit, but it really helps to use a body technique to release that. And I found that it releases all this energy that I can create things with, and I start having inspirations, and it starts building on itself. So it's something I use all the time. Periodically, I do a challenge where I invite people to forgive themselves every day for a month, and it's like a whole forgiveness detox. So if that's something someone is listening to this is thinking could help them, then they can, we'll tell them how to, they can find that later. But this has been big for me this last year. It's something I never did before, and I think it's really, really important. And I think one of the fun things I really like to do is I like to burn things as my personal ceremony. So I'll write out a list of the things I want to leave behind, and you can kind of use that as like the jumping off point, like the contrast. Okay, I don't want to feel tired, so I want to feel energized next year, and I'll just go ahead and burn everything, because I really believe in the power of, I believe in the power of setting intentions, but I also believe in the power of surrendering those, everything to whatever you believe is the divine spirit in your life, in the world. So just leaving it up to that big greater force to let everything fall into place. And I think that's a really good thing to practice.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's great. And also, by having the intention of letting go of something, you're then creating that space then to invite something even new and even more spectacular into your life. I love that. And it's, but it also, obviously, I mean, I know it is for me, and I'm sure it's for other people. Sometimes letting go tends to be the hardest part of the process, because you've invested so much energy into something you've done as a certain project that may have gone up sort of belly up or pear shaped, as we could say in the UK. You feel like if you don't, you don't necessarily want to let go of it, because you think, well, perhaps I could have gone a little bit further with that, or perhaps I could have, perhaps I feel like I failed in that, and you have then the issues of guilt surrounding that you didn't quite feel you did as good a job as you thought you'd hoped to do. And again, as you're saying about forgiveness, I think that's really key in this, is to forgive yourself for feeling that way. I mean, it's fine to feel that way, it's natural, but don't worry about feeling that way, because it's all part of the process. And by, I say, by forgiving yourself as well, is going to make it easier to let go of it at the end of the year and realize you did the best you could at that point. And if it didn't work out, then it's this divine way of divine sort of message saying that there's something better on the horizon for you, and to look that way and not look behind you. So I love that. I love the way your method for doing
that. That's so true. And I think that there's something that happens. It is hard to let go, and I think it's hardest to forgive ourselves sometimes, mm-hmm. because there's not another person to be nice to. It's ourselves. And sometimes we don't realize how hard we are.
Exactly.
You know, if it's just so part of our pattern. I had no idea that I was really judging myself for different things and carrying that. And it's very heavy, mm. and it does take up space. And you're right, if we let it go, then we have a wonderful openness and we can look to the new horizon. And I think it comes up as we're getting to a new level, too, as a way to drag us down and keep us even where mm-hmm. we've been. So if we want to go to a new level, then we have to do this forgiveness.
Exactly.
And it's really like opening up our heart. It's really opening up our heart to give us that energy of compassion and love. And our mind doesn't really understand forgiveness because, like you said, it wants to hold on. It's thinking, well, I could have done better, so let me bookmark this feeling.
Yeah, exactly, yeah,
I'll just hang on to this as a little reminder so I never let this happen again.
Yeah.
I should have known better. And our mind does it with so many things. It's actually a part of my process to unwind it, if we kind of voice that.
Mm-hmm.
So you hit the nail on the head that it seems more logical to hold the memory of a disappointment very large so that way it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But then we're feeling that emotion way longer than we need to. So
yeah,
it doesn't
exactly.
do us any favors, really.
No, that's really true. And I was just thinking as you were talking about this, and I was thinking about lots of things that have happened in my life this year. And lots of aha moments that I've had as well. And one of the major turning points I had this year was that I turned 40 this year. And it's an age that...
Thank you.
It's an age that most people seem to dread. But I don't know why, but I was actually looking forward to it. And I'm still not sure why I was looking forward to it. But there's obviously something within me was looking forward to being 40. And I don't know whether it's because I grew up with a kind of saying that used to be going around with my family was life begins at 40. And I thought, well, that sounds good. And whether that's been subconsciously buried in within me over the last 40 years. But for me, it was a huge turning point in my life because it made me really look at my life and where I was going, what I wanted to do with it, and what I wanted to let go of as well. I realised that the path I was on wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do. I was enjoying parts of it, but I wasn't... I think it got to the point where I suddenly looked at my life and I thought, I'm not actually where I thought I'd be at this age. I thought I would be a bit more successful in my business, and then have 3 children, not 2, but that's still in the pipeline to have a third child, hopefully next year if I'm lucky. But then I also looked back and realised I'd actually achieved quite a few dreams as well, like owning our own house, which we bought last year. And other little things as well. But it really made me think about, okay, what do I really, really love about my life? And what do I really want more of in my life? And it made me realise that I miss being creative. I love making things and creating products. I mean, I'm a natural healing practitioner, sort of first and foremost. And I love making natural products, natural healing products. So I very often go back to my roots, which is my aromatherapy, and crystals, and making natural skincare products. When I first started out aromatherapy, I was making my own shower gels and soaps and bath oils and bath salts and bath melts and lip balms and all this stuff because my husband has really bad eczema, and so he was getting a lot of reactions to kind of like commercially bought skin products and bath products. So I started making stuff for him, which really helped his skin. And then realised, I really much prefer doing natural stuff. And then when I had kids, that kind of got put in the back burner because children get to the point they put everything in their mouth. Which was lovely. The natural stuff I had, it wouldn't have hurt them if it had put it in the mouth. But it, you know, so you don't want to encourage that. But yeah, and just having children kind of took over my life, and I stopped making products and I started making clothes for my children mainly. And it kind of dawned on me this year that my children are at the age where they're a little bit more independent. They're now, I mean, they've just in the last couple of months, they've turned 6 and 8 years old. And they're both at school. I now have all day while they're at school to play and do my creative work without having to worry about them finding stuff and eating it. Well, I've got a cat and a puppy now that does that for me. It's a whole new learning curve this year. And yeah, and it made me realise how much I miss making natural products and how much I miss creating things and how much I love painting and I love the grown-up colouring books that you can guess at the moment. It's so lovely to have colouring books and actually giving yourself permission to colour. And people think, oh, these colouring books, oh, colouring book, colouring is just for kids. And then suddenly having the permission to, oh, I can get my pens out and colour in all these beautiful drawings. And how relaxing that is and how amazing and beautiful. And it got me thinking more of different mediums to use in the colouring, like watercolours and acrylics and mixed media and all different, loads of different types of media, which are just stuff I didn't even know existed until like sort of 6 or 8 months ago. And so yeah, it's kind of really, this year has been a huge learning curve in the sense that I've gone back to my roots of who I really am. I feel very much when I turned 40, I started caring less about what others thought of me, and I started being more visible in my business. Hence the radio show came out of that, because if somebody had said to me a year ago, you'll be having your own radio show, I would have laughed at them. I thought, yeah, that's not going to happen. And yet here I am, and we're on episode 6. And every time I do a show, I'm still amazed going, oh my goodness, I have my own radio show. And it's really, I started to pinch myself that that's real. And I love it. And I really love doing this radio show. And I love all the different guests that I interview each time as well. It's great fun. But I never would have expected that to happen had I not actually stepped into my own power. Which I felt very much happened in the summer, it was after my birthday, and really kind of took hold of my life and realised where I wanted to go next and what direction I wanted to go in and what I wanted to achieve. And yes, I've had a lot of other stuff which has gone wrong completely this year, but when I look back, I've actually looked back and realised, actually, this is a really good turning point. This has needed to happen, because now I feel I am on the right path, and I know, and I kind of, rather than getting to the end of the year and thinking, oh, I never want another year like that ever again, and then something's got to shift next year, which is how I've been feeling the last few years, I actually feel this the end of this year, thinking, I actually know where I'm heading next year, and I've never felt that before, and that's really new and exciting, because I know now what I want to create, and what path I want to take, and what makes me happy, and what I can do to earn more money. And and then by me being happy, that helps my healing journey as well. And then if I can help more others heal, then that's the icing on the cake. So I think it's really healthy to actually look back over the past 12 months and see where you've been and see what's worked and what hasn't worked. And it gives you really good insight on where you want to go next. So I love being able to grasp everything and look at the whole year as a positive thing. Even the negative stuff that happened, it happened for a reason, because it taught you something. And so I think it's very healthy to actually look back and evaluate the year.
Yeah, because then you were dreaming kind of bigger than a year, because you had your birthday, and for us, everyone, our birthday is kind of like the new year.
Yeah, exactly.
Us,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we're doing the new year now collectively all together, mm-hmm. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
But we each have, you know, our own markers to the year where we do review stuff. And I think birthdays are totally normal.
Exactly.
Of course, you hit a big milestone.
I did.
That was big for you, too. And, you know, with the kids out and everything. That's really awesome. And I did something similar when it was my birthday this year. I turned 28. And that's when I realized that forgiveness work was so important, because I got down in the dumps. I had a lot of stuff come up for me, and just a lot of feelings, and so I really needed to just purge all of that unforgiveness for where I was at. All of that trying to be further along than where I was, because it doesn't help. And like you say, you know, we're doing the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
The dips really teach us about what we're really looking for, and help lead us home to ourselves and to finding a simpler way to express ourselves and find happiness. And something I really like to do for reviewing is I actually have some practices I do every month. I also did this on the winter solstice, where I will go and I reread my old writing. I reread my old journal, and I try to do it periodically, especially now as we're reviewing for the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool because, you know, if you look at where was I in January, where was I in March, where was I in July, and just find something that you wrote down. It could be about your goals. It could be just your thoughts, and to really look at it and say, hey, you know, I'm in a totally different place now. Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
Hey, I'm still kind of here. That's interesting. I found something that I hadn't written this article, and I wrote over and over again in all these places that I needed to write it. Today I actually worked on it. So it helps to just review these things.
Yeah.
So I make some YouTube videos, and I invite anyone to come and watch either live or the replay, and create this sacred space for everyone to find those little pieces of writing that they're supposed to read today. And it doesn't take a lot of time, but doing things like that can really get the juices going.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about, before we got on the line, that right now Mercury is in retrograde. It started its shadow period. It's going to go retrograde on the 5th of January.
Yeah.
So we have a whole month ahead of us that's really about reviewing and reflecting, revamping. So if we're not quite done gathering the lessons, then it's okay. We have all of next month to do that too, and retack for the new year. And I have I'm going to have a sacred writing event for those purposes of reviewing and getting ready for the new year in January as well.
Fantastic.
So that'll be a really exciting challenge for us. Anyone who wants a little bit more hand-holding to review the year, I can help you there.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think and being with the new year and all the energies around that, and then Mercury retrograde, and lots of people tend to be a bit scared of Mercury retrograde. It's like,
No,
everything's going to go wrong, and then they just kind of go, oh no, it's terrible. But the best thing, the way is again, is how you look at things, and to think of it as a positive thing, not a negative thing. It's yes, Mercury retrograde can make technology go a bit weird. you've got to be a bit careful with travel, in the sense that just allow plenty of time to get to somewhere, because whatever will happen could happen.
I'm not saying humor.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you've got oil in the car, petrol in the car. What do you call petrol? Do you call it gas? Or we have diesel. Actually, don't put petrol in my car, otherwise it won't work, because it's actually diesel. Keep forgetting that. We did that once. Once is enough to realise that we put the wrong fuel in the car. That's when we first got it. But it really is a case of, don't be worried about Mercury retrograde, but you look at it as a time to just reconnect with this. So everything, what I loved, I read something about Mercury retrograde, and it's a great way of remembering it. Because of the RE at the beginning of retrograde, every word with RE at the front is what you can do during Mercury retrograde. So renew yourself, replenish your vitality. My favourite one, which I tend to do a lot during Mercury retrograde, is reorganise. Because my workroom, where I'm sitting right now, has had a puppy fly through it the last 3 weeks. Because I got a new puppy 3 weeks ago, and he's gorgeous, but he's mad as a hatter, and he keeps landing on my desk and then knocking everything on the floor. So my room looks like we call him the Cornish Devil, not the Tasmanian Devil, because we're in Cornwall, and he literally flies through like a Tasmanian Devil and then out the door again. And I literally come to my room and go, oh my word, everything's on the floor. So yeah, so my goal for Mercury retrograde is to reorganise my room so the puppy cannot mess it up again. So the only thing with re at the front, so reconnect with yourself is a really good one. It's just to really take some time out and really just connect with your soul and go within and just kind of work out what direction you want to go in and what do you need to redo in your life, and anything that needs to be looked at, anything needs to be reviewed. That's another big one for Mercury retrograde, is reviewing areas of your life and finding out what's working, what isn't working, and
wrapping up projects
exactly
that were unfinished from a long time.
Exactly, yeah. But don't start anything.
I started doing some stuff in my office the past couple of days. Yeah.
Exactly. But don't start anything new until Mercury's gone direct again. Because if you start anything new, you will have to be redoing it again. You will literally, something will go wrong. You have to go back over the paperwork again, or you'll have to redo certain elements. You're better off just waiting until Mercury goes direct, and probably for about a week after it goes direct, and then
unless
start new
projects.
Unless
you want to see all the bugs.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like you did the beta test of a computer program.
Exactly.
Some people want to see all the possible things that could go wrong.
Yeah, and in which case that would be very positive as well, because then you can actually get ahead of yourself then before you actually launch something. You can see all the, as I say, all the bugs that come up, all the things that could go wrong, may go wrong. We won't say will go wrong, but it may go wrong. We're sort of trying a little bit positive throughout this.
Yeah, but it is really cool, though. I mean, I say, like I think it's almost easier, you know? Like, I've gotten in this new mindset about it. I think this happened to me in 2015. I started getting really positive about Mercury retrograde.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
I became more aware of it in astrology and more interested.
Yeah.
And I've had a bad habit in my past of having a lot of started things and not a lot of finished things. So Mercury retrograde is just perfect for me, because it really is just like, okay, I've got time to buckle down and like commit and like wrap some things up and just stick with the ideas I've got.
Yeah.
And you can still get creative, you know, like you can creatively reorganize.
Yeah.
You can creatively,
exactly.
I think of it like a friendship bracelet, like where you have all these threads and you're not starting new threads.
No,
you're using
exactly.
the threads you have, but you can weave them in new ways, and that are really beautiful and really interesting. And you can think of everything you're doing as the next evolution of something you've already started.
Yeah.
And that means you already have something to work with. You already
exactly.
have a structure or some experience, and you might have some things going back and forth in your head over and over again. And that's a sign that, like, oh, that's something I should pay attention to right now. And it's almost like, you know, your angels or the universe is just handing things to you on a platter. And if you keep refusing it, they're just going to keep offering it to you. So you just can't miss it. It's like,
exactly.
I'm going to remind you of this until it's done. So it's kind of cool. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. And I say, I was the same. I kind of looked at my creation and dreaded it coming every so often. I mean, it doesn't happen too many times. I mean, it probably happens two or three times a year, maybe. But when I say, it's going to make a Mercury retrograde next month, and then suddenly I go, oh God, no, everything's going to go wrong. But now once I understood what it actually meant and how it gives you that period to just take stock and just calm yourself down and slow yourself down and really think about what it is you need to focus on. And as you were saying about sort of using tools you have, it made me think that I'm a bit of a craft addict, in the sense that if I see some new product, like shiny object syndrome, if I see a new product that's like makes beautiful things, like a new type of paint or a new type of mixed media, I'm thinking, oh, I gotta buy that. So I go and buy it, but I never actually use it. So I've got loads of beautiful craft products that I haven't used. And so when you were saying about putting all the stuff you already got, that's kind of what I've been thinking about really the last few months, is that I do not need to buy anything new. I have so many amazing things to play with already. So my kind of work during Mercury retrograde is not only reorganising this room, so A, I can find my desk, which it is still there, just since puppy has been puppified, I can no longer find the things on my desk. once I reorganise my desk and the rest of my workroom, I'm then going to be using all the beautiful paints and colouring pencils and watercolour pens and I've got this beautiful product, and I can't remember exactly what it's called. It's called, it's by Pebio, and it's called Prism, and there's another one, Moon something. But it's kind of alcohol-based, and you can drop it onto canvas, and then drop the alternate one, like you drop some Moon, oh, I really can't remember what it's called, it's driving me mad now. But anyway, it's kind of like a little liquid, like a bit like kind of oil paint, but in the liquid. And you drop it onto canvas or anything, and it creates these most beautiful patterns. And then you drop prism onto it, and it looks like almost like an oil effect in a puddle, or it can make.
Sure, I was thinking something like that.
Exactly, it's absolutely gorgeous, and you can make these amazing patterns on canvases with it, or you can use it on wooden boxes or frames, or even on just a normal piece of plastic. And I bought sort of the whole set of it, and I still haven't had a chance to actually do anything with it. But I had these ideas of doing angel artwork, because I've been getting a lot of messages from my angels that I need to start doing artwork and doing angel artwork and channeling the angels that I use in my angel aura sprays and my angel chakra balancing sprays, and actually do artwork to go on the front, because I need to redo the pictures on the front of the bottles. And I had the idea about doing these amazing artworks and then obviously photographing them and then making the images to go on my labels and making various other tools that can be used with sprays as well.
You're redoing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You
know, so
it's sort of new, but it's sort of not.
Yes,
know, it's
exactly.
Sort of new, but you have these materials and you've already had one version. This is the next evolution.
Yes.
You've had this idea. It's repeating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like perfectly on theme.
It is, yeah. And basically you're saying about looking back through your journals over the last year. And I have lots, I call them ideas books, and I have lots of journals. And when I have an idea, I write it down somewhere, because I know I'll forget it if I don't write it down, because I've had amazing ideas in the middle of the night, and by the time I woke up in the morning, I kind of don't remember a thing about what the amazing idea, and that bugs me. I really hate it when that happens, going, it was such a fantastic idea, I just can't for the life of me remember what it was. So I write the thing down, and I actually found one of my idea books a few weeks ago, and I'm really glad I found it, because I had all my recipes in it from my aura sprays, because I'm thinking, I know I've written down somewhere, so I had all my recipes in there for my aura sprays, and I had loads of other ideas in there I completely forgotten I had, but I hadn't acted on them then, but now when I look back at them, I'm thinking, oh, actually, that would fit really well with what I'm doing next. So it's great to look back on what you did, even though, not necessarily the last year, but this has got going over the last 10 years, when I first started doing my spiritual work, and finding all these little ideas I had of things to make, and products to make, and healing sessions to do, and then realising actually it fits me more with what I'm doing now than what I did then, which is why I didn't act on it at that point. So I do love being able to find old journals and pick up old ideas and just recreate them into something new, which again is all about Mercury retrograde and using the sources you have to hand to turn it into something new, which will then propel you into the future to be more successful for you in the future than just sitting there gathering dust, as most of my craft stuff seems to be behind me.
And I love that you have these old idea books, and like it came to you to look at one, and like that is just so cool, because that's why I started doing those rereading events, is because like when do we look at our journals, or when do we look at these things? Our culture is very much about like produce,
yeah.
But sometimes we need to, you know, look at everything we have, and our minds are just going to be more lit up right now.
Exactly.
With that inspiration
of
how to put it all together. It's so cool. Yeah. People don't talk about that though. I see a lot of people on Facebook complain, like, oh, I don't know. And so this is inspiring me, you sharing your story. I'm just like, this is why it's so cool.
Exactly. And it's lovely having this time of year, right between Christmas is just finished. Well, okay, we're still in, what day are we on Christmas? Hang on, I'm trying to think. Day 6, I think, are we on? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, today we're day 6. Day 5. See, I can't count. Day 6 for the radio show. We're actually recording this the day before. That's why I'm confused.
Yeah.
my brain's trying to work that one out. And so we're halfway through Christmas, as it were. And we've got New Year's Eve on Thursday. And so we're kind of at that period of the year where we do start, we can just take a breather for a moment. And we can just kind of gather our energies and, just kind of like when that lovely little lull, which I actually quite enjoy this bit. I don't enjoy the bit the fact that my children are still at home and not at school, because then they're already driving me around the bend. But they're out with Daddy tonight, so I've got a few hours peace, which is nice. So there's that little lull where you can just think, okay, right, I haven't got the madness of Christmas, that's gone, but we've got the excitement of the new year, and New Year's Eve and New Year's Eve parties, and we tend to have a party at home, but we have loads of fireworks seem to go off in our area on New Year's Eve, and so we just sit at home and watch all the fireworks out the window, which is great. Just saves us having to travel anywhere with the storm we've got coming at the moment. And So I love this time of year where you can just kind of relax and just take stock of your life and reevaluate and just have a little breather just before the craziness of the new year starts again as well. And then, of course, then the kids go back to school next week and they've got to try and get all the school stuff ready over the weekend. And I've got a birthday party my daughter's going to. And it's suddenly, once you get hit 1st of January, it'll be like off like a rocket again. So it's nice having that time at the moment just to kind of just calm down. And we were talking also before the call about this time of year is when you've got Christmas over, but you're still going to be visiting family. Because very often you can't always see everybody on Christmas Day. And we have Boxing Day in the UK as well. I'm not sure if Boxing Day in the US or not, but we have the day after Christmas Day is Boxing Day for us. So we have two days off. So we were talking about how if you haven't seen all your family over Christmas period, and so you're using this time between Christmas and New Year to go and visit your family, how to conserve your energy and not... we love our families, but there's a reason we don't live with them 24/7, because then we'd all drive each other mad. So sometimes how do you deal with those energies from your family when you have to go and spend some time with them, or you choose to spend time with them over this period, and how to kind of keep your energy to yourself without letting others' energies affect you. I think that's the hardest thing I find, because I love my family dearly, but if I spend more than a few hours with them, I want to start killing them. So it's kind of, there's so many different energies going on and so many different ways of they live or we live, and we all start rubbing each other up the wrong way if we're in each other's presence for too much time at once. So,
yeah.
Was it when you go and visit your family at this time? What do you use any methods to actually help to conserve your energy and to keep grounded and not let other people's energies affect yours when you're out and about? What kind of methods do you use to help you with that?
Yeah, it's a great topic, and it's pretty robust for me, because I'm definitely highly sensitive, and I can be very empathic, so I pick up a lot, and my family, at least, has a lot of stress and worry, so, you know, it's defining that line of being present and open and available, but also keeping yourself separated, so that way you're not taking on more than you can chew, because probably a lot of people listening are healers like us,
and want to
take on things. And I really love this quote by Doreen Virtue, which is that remember that God is their source, not you. So
I like that one.
You can replace that with whatever word speaks to you. But I like, you know, source is my only source, and like the idea that if I'm trying to take it all on me, then I'm trying to like be God for them. You know, I'm trying to be everything to them, and that's not my place.
No, exactly.
You know, I again, with that theme of surrender, there are some things that's just like, I don't want this bad thing that they're worrying about to happen, but if I can't do anything about it, then I need to surrender.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and to be present and listening and loving, but not to take it on for myself. So that's something to keep an eye out for.
Yeah.
It's really easy. And a lot of people talk about cords, that we can be connected by a cord to someone. And I think that happens with family.
Yes.
So I know that you love working with angels.
Yes, yeah.
Me too. So I would ask, you know, ask my angels to help remove any cords or ties, to help me release any emotions that aren't mine, don't serve me, to release any energy that doesn't serve me, and to help me to stay in a place that's my intention of feeling, and you can specify that for yourself. I like to feel in harmony and loving and loved, and you know, I want to be open to love,
mm-hmm.
but to have a barrier to negative emotions.
Mm.
So shielding is another word to describe a practice that I do where I envision light around me,
mm-hmm.
and I'll use a color. So sometimes it'll be like lapis lazuli blue or violet purple, and having that go all the way around is that barrier for the love to come in, but for the rust to stay at my door and not come into my space. And so that can be something I reaffirm when I go to the bathroom or mm-hmm. before I go in. And I wrote a blog post about this. So if someone Googles Sophia Wren shielding, they'll probably find a little bit more on that. But mm-hmm. And then just having my daily practice that I do, you know, maybe you don't have time for everything you'd like in your morning routine, but if you can fit in your meditation or your journaling or going outside, whatever really is important, then that's a good thing to just keep you set and remember that you have some control over your life no matter what.
Exactly.
And that's a really good habit to keep up on those days. But, and then finally, I wanted to share, I'm really excited to answer this question, I have so much to say, but I wanted to share something I've been doing lately where there has been some upset for me, is I've been writing a lot to my little one, my inner child.
That's
been
nice
writing
idea.
Letters. I've been kind of in dialogue, just sharing my feelings, sharing that I want to be supportive, I want to be listening. You know, if I don't feel like I'm being listened to, then I go ahead and I listen better to myself.
I like that. And, that's a good one. Yeah. That's what I do myself, I think. That's a good one.
It's good, and it can be very emotional feeling, but also very healthy and connected.
Yeah.
And another thing I did was I wrote a letter to a member of my family, and I don't intend for them to read it. It was just to vent, and then I asked myself, what do I need now?
Mm.
You know, just to take care of ourselves first.
Yes, I like that. That's a great way to do it. And as you were mentioning about the shielding, I was reminded that I tend to do it when I go out into a public place, but very often I forget to do it when I'm with my family, because you think of the family, you've lived with them most of your life, you shouldn't need to do it, but actually that's usually the time you need to do it the most, I think, in some ways, because there's a reason why you left home. Is if you were able to live with somebody permanently, you would. I know that there's also some people that it's not necessarily an option or a choice, and they have no other option but to leave at home, and that's also the energy start flying around with mixed opinions and stuff. But I was also thinking about another great way of helping you to cope with other people's energies is wearing crystals as well.
Oh yeah,
and certain crystals are like I was on Periscope recently, and one of my friends on Periscope, I don't know her surname, which is really bad, but she's called Radzi, and if anyone's on Periscope, if you look up Shining in Love, so it's @ and then Shining in Love, and she's called Radzi, and she's in India, and she's really, really lovely, she's a beautiful soul, and she does crystal readings on Periscope, and also card readings, and so I was on one of her scapes last week. And she did a card reading for me, crystal reading for me. And the crystal that came up was smoky quartz and obsidian. And those are two crystals that I absolutely love. And smoky quartz in particular, for just helping you to ground yourself and helping to protect from any, not I wouldn't say necessarily negative energies, but just energies that you find quite draining. And sometimes being with your family, sometimes that can have a draining effect on your energies. And if you aren't protected, find a way to protect yourself, then very often you'll come back and think, oh, I feel exhausted. I mean, that's supposed to be good fun, and I'm exhausted from it. And it's because, as I say, you tend to pick up on other people's energies while you're with them. without necessarily realising. And so by wearing crystals, and so in particular any of the kind of like the dark brown or black crystals, are very good because they will absorb that kind of drained energy feeling without it actually getting into your energy space. And then it's able. Then you, once you cleanse your crystal, then it all gets released then. So, but yeah, so crystals are a great way. So you can either just wear, I mean, I've often, I've just got earrings on, and I usually have, Labradorite is another crystal, which is great for protecting as well, to just keep your energy clear and not collectively pick up on other people's energies around you. That's a really good one. I wear that a lot when I go out. Actually, I wear it a lot when I visit my family as well, funny enough. It tends to be the first one to pick up, and if I'm going out to a busy place, like a shopping mall at Christmas time, and everyone's a bit frantic trying to get all the shopping done. And also now with the sales starting as well, again, the energy's all very high and scattered when people are trying to get the best bargains over the New Year sales and things. It is great just to have little tools like that, just little earrings to wear, or a pendant, or a necklace, or a bracelet even. And you can hold the intention as you have that jewellery in your hand. Say, please protect me from other people's energies that are not for my highest good. So that I keep my energy pure and clear and perfect for the healing that I need. Anything like that, that just as a short sort of protection prayer or just intention is a great thing also to use. So if you don't know, if you're not familiar with the shielding technique, but by all means go check out Sophia's link for that for more. There are so many different ways to shield yourself, and another one I use a lot is the Archangel Michael, and I asked to borrow his cloak, and he has this very beautiful heavy velvet kind of cobalt blue cloak, and I asked to borrow it, and I put it on me, and it's a huge hood that goes over my head, and then it's usually really big and heavy, and it completely covers me, and I know that nothing can permeate that cloak except for love. So anyone else's opinions of me, who necessarily don't agree with how I'm living my life or the things I believe in, or they're just having a bad day and they just want to vent and aim it at somebody else. And if I happen to be in that firing line, I may inadvertently pick it up. It will just, everything will bounce off. So, and that's another, and also another way, which, because I was trained by Doreen Virtue, I'm one of her angel therapy practitioners. So I trained with, funny enough, it was actually 10 years ago I did my training in Glastonbury in England. And it was a fantastic, fantastic course. But another method that we were taught during that course was to step inside a sphere, like a mirror ball, basically. And so that whenever somebody tried to project something at you that was not positive, that was not from a place of love, it bounced back at them. So they just saw their reflection the whole time. I mean, very often people say that if you are seeing something negative in your life, it's something that maybe you're projecting, and not consciously, but on a subconscious level, maybe it's something that you're projecting and it's coming back at you to look at and to deal with. So if you put yourself into imagine stepping inside this huge mirror ball, and only anything again that can permeate it is love. And so whatever somebody tries to throw at you will get bounced back at them, and they'll actually feel it probably twice as more than they were intending you to feel it. So you don't actually absorb that sort of energy being thrown at you, but they may have feel it when it comes back at them, and they may think, oh, actually perhaps that wasn't the right way to behave, or they apologise, but it's never done in a malicious way. It's just a way of protecting yourself from actually absorbing their response to something you may have said, or they may not agree with something you do, but the usual stuff that tends to pop up.
So much is unsaid. Yeah, exactly. That's why I like the word energy. I have some friends who are more scientific, and they get bothered by me using it, but it's like, how else do you describe it, you know?
Exactly.
Sometimes, especially with family, I think, there's a lot unsaid, there's a lot you're not supposed to talk about, or is not appropriate for a holiday,
exactly,
party, discussion, yeah. You know, there's a lot unsaid, and so it's really about, like, there's a weird vibe, you just don't want to have to carry that around home with you.
No, exactly.
You want to be able to kind of, like, move, dance around that, and to be able to bring the conversation around somewhere positive, yeah. so not everyone is feeling awkward. And
yeah.
But I do think that sometimes we have a little backlash after. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
exactly. So when we're back home. And so, you know, really watch out for that. And I found that the forgiveness theme comes back in with that because it can be very subtle to figure out what it's about. But recently, for instance, I had to forgive myself for just not being able to stop something, not being able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we not only are connected to people in our family because we live with them, but we have like a tribal urge from being a mammal. Like, we have this survival instinct to be aligned with them and to be loyal to them. Sometimes we can be too loyal and we can beat ourselves up for that. Sometimes we can be not loyal enough and we can beat ourselves up for that. And it's good to be aware of, you know, what am I being hard on myself for really? Why am I feeling so down? And then try to unwind it, because that's beautiful, because it's an opportunity that will help you long term. If you use that as a way to flush something out and really let go, then it's going to be less of a problem in the future. So it can be a little bit laborious to see family, but I think in the end it is good to be connected and to hold your ground.
Definitely.
Question.
Thank you. So we're now looking forward to the new year, and we've got New Year's Eve on Thursday, and then Friday being the first day of now. Some people say 2016, some people say 2016, and I keep saying 2016. I don't know why. It seems easier for me to say, but then my daughters say 2016, so it's quite funny. How we've even got mixed opinions even in our family.
But then
I started thinking about it, thinking, well, when we used to talk about the 20th century, I never used to say 1900 and 98 or something. So yeah, it's a bit strange. I was thinking about this earlier. So we've got the first day of 2016 or 2016, whoever, which way you feel most comfortable saying it. And you are looking at this beautiful new year ahead of you. And all the goals that you have for the year and things you want to achieve and new projects you want to start. Obviously, after Mercury's gone direct, put that out there. What's your favourite way of preparing your energy for the new year and all the exciting and amazing things that you feel are just around the corner for you?
Well, one thing that has been coming to me are sort of how I want to use the next Mercury retrogrades, actually. That's kind of like the first part of my plan for the new year, is like there's going to be three of them and then kind of half of one in December of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I've thought about, okay, well, first one, I'm going to do a sacred writing challenge again. We're going to bring that back around. Second one, I'm going to do the forgiveness challenge again. And then the third one is sort of like, I'm not quite sure. I like to leave some openness. So I read a little bit of Wayne Dyer's book on, I don't know what it was called, but it was about setting intentions.
Okay, yes.
Maybe it was like The Power of Intention.
Yeah, I think it's called The Power of Intention, or I think that's what it's called, yes.
So he had an interesting, you know, two ways to look at intentions. Like, one, we kind of write for ourselves. I have a little notebook that I keep that I just write out my intentions for different things. Like, my intention for the holiday season is I want to feel this. My intention for this book is I want this.
Mm-hmm.
My intention for my emails to people is for this. I just have a little book for that. I also jotted some notes about my work for the year. I don't have one yet. It's kind of in process. But I like to keep it somewhere, all that stuff. There's another way to look at intentions that Wayne Dyer brought up that I thought was brilliant, where he said he was on a subway and he reached up to the bar, and that's what he realized an intention is like. An intention is like already present, and we're just reaching up to meet it. It's kind of like the divine plan or divine will. Like, we're co-creating our intentions. Like, so sometimes I think we can be too attached to the details, and it's kind of good to let go of those and just have a rough sketch You know, like, you, like, having clarity on your priorities, I think, is one of the best things. You know, like, you decided, Kate, like, creating things is a huge priority for you.
Yeah.
And that has to be honored in the new year. And for me, this year, my priority was, you know, I want to play more. Mm. I want to do things just, not just for my health and my wellness, but, like, for fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think I need to bring that back again in 2016. Yeah. I think I could do more of that. So I think that's a really cool thing to think about, is your priority, and it probably is something you have been putting down at the bottom of your list.
Yes.
You know, to balance it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you think of that, Kate?
I think that's perfect, because as you're saying, you mentioned about playing, that's kind of why one of the kind of underlying reasons why I wanted to be more creative next year is because I just want to play. I don't actually want to feel like I'm working every day. I want to feel like I'm playing every day. And I think that's another reason why we got the puppy a few weeks ago, because originally I was going to wait till the springtime to get a puppy. And then something kind of drew me to the ads for the puppies. And then I spotted this gorgeous litter that was going to be due right before, well, ready to leave their mum right before Christmas. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cute to have a puppy for Christmas? And it has been cute, but, oh, way more work than I ever imagined possible. But in a good way as well. But having seen the way the puppy is, and how he's into everything, and he loves exploring stuff, and he's sniffing everywhere we go out for a walk, and he's just so in the moment, and he just loves playing, and you've got to just chuck a ball. I mean, we've got, luckily where we live, we've got a very long living room and then a long hallway, and then a door in between. You can open it and you can literally go stand from the back door and throw the ball all the way to the front door, which the puppy loves, because he just races across the room and races up to the hallway, up to the front door, grabs the ball, races back again. Hasn't quite learnt to drop the ball, so we can chuck it again, but so we've got to chase around the lounge trying to get the ball out of his mouth. But he's just so in the moment. He just loves playing, and he's just excited all the time, and then he's exhausted and he claps out for a nap. But it's so lovely having that energy. And yes, it's hard work, because it's the first dog I've ever had. So getting used to this high energy has been an eye-opener for me. But also it's helped me to see that having that time to play is brilliant for raising your vibration, and is brilliant for just bringing new opportunities into your life, and just letting go of the negative feelings. And also, I'm a bit of a hermit. I tend to stay in my workroom and just create stuff or be on the internet far too much. And having a puppy has dragged me outside, which has been great. So it means that I actually go for long walks and discover things that I've never really knew were there, and I've seen everything through the puppy's eyes as well. And also seeing how my kids interact with the puppy as well, and how they actually have hardly played with any of the toys they got for Christmas, because they've had a puppy, and they've actually played more with the puppy than they have with their toys. And that's been quite good as well, because it's seeing their interactions, and yes, they wind him up a lot, which drives us mad, because then he gets overexcited and he gets all sort of absolutely mental. These are half Springer Spaniels, so they tend to be mental in that sense, very, very hyper. But they've been really preoccupied. I mean, they haven't needed our attention so much because they've had the puppy to play with. So it's been great that they've had that energy exchange with the puppy as well. And it's got us out as a family. It's got us out going for walks together and had more time to play together as a family. And we just can't wait for the weather to actually stop raining for a start, which is all good. In the UK, that's pretty unusual. We have a lot of rain in the UK, unfortunately, especially this time of year. But we're really waiting for the weather to dry up a bit so we can take the puppy to the beach for the first time. And then that is just going to be a whole new experience of puppy on sand and in the sea, which is going to be fun. But yeah, it is finding that time to play and giving yourself permission to play. Is what we were saying before the call about, felt like giving myself permission to do the colouring in books, the grown-up colouring in books, and Zantangling, which I also love to do. But it's, again, giving yourself permission to play. That you, just because you're a grown-up doesn't mean you have to be stiff and you don't have to be serious all the time and you have to be responsible all the time. At the end of the day, we still have a little child inside of us that loves playing, and is to actually connect with that little child And about you saying about writing letters to your child, to the inner child, I love that idea about going back and kind of writing letters to say, look, you can still be like this as an adult. You don't have to feel that once you've grown up, you have to be responsible and boring, which is kind of how, as children, we think grown-ups are. Oh, you don't have any fun, you know. Yeah, I see my kids do it to me. Oh, we never play anymore. But they haven't said that in the last 3 weeks since we've had this puppy. So
adults too, you know, because we have different intelligences, and playing can bring us into new ideas and new inspirations by moving our body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much wisdom to be had by getting into our body, using our hands, using our mind in a new way, and it can really give you, it can energize you and loosen you up, so you have will to do anything productive, but you can also get some really great inspirations, mm-hmm. and I think that's part of reaching up to that subway pole and grasping that intention that's bigger than us, is to meet it and do something creative or do something playful, do something physical to get out of our head and able to co-create and to be available to that divine inspiration to lead us to maybe something even more amazing we would have ever thought of in January, you know? Being open to that. But if you have a priority, you can choose between options. And I also love games. I love making myself a game board if I have a little challenge goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I can check that off and have colors and paint and, you know, make everything a game that you want to accomplish, because you start thinking of it differently.
Yeah,
And start thinking about, oh, I can win this. You know?
Yeah, precisely. Okay, so Sophia, could you please share your website with everyone, and also where they can find details about the writing course for the new year and the forgiveness challenge as well, please?
Would love to, yes. So you can get everything by going to sophiawren.com, and it's S as in Sam, O, F as in fabulous, I-A, W-R-E-N as in Nancy, SophiaRand.com, and if you look, there is an advertisement for a free course called Create Your Heart's Desire that's going to be coming out soon, and what you will get right away is a list of all of my free resources, like the Forgiveness Challenge, and you'll get all the news about the Sacred Writing events as well. So that'll all come to you, one swift swoop. All you have to do is go to that site, and then anywhere on there, there are little boxes you can put your email into.
Excellent. Fantastic. Thank you so much. I also have a special offer for the new year myself. Because I am recreating some of my Angel Track for Bouncing sprays with the artwork on the front, I have decided to open up some slots for some Angel Track for Healing sessions, where it's done via Skype, and we go through a short meditation to meet your own spirit guide or archangel or angel who's around you, who then helps to clear your chakras so that you can clear out all the gunk and all the kind of any aches and pains or physical ailments or emotional or spiritual kind of sort of stuff that you'll have hanging around still that you want to release. And then so you start off the new year lovely and sort of sparkling clean and raring to go. And also it's a great thing to do during the Mercury retrograde, because obviously you're kind of clearing out the old as well, and re-energising your chakras as well. So if you would like to benefit from the special offer of 22% off the normal price of my sessions, all my details, if you want to go onto my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/angelchakra444, and then you can send me a direct message on my page, this little message button at the top on the menu, just click on that, send me a message, and if you mention Soul with Kate, it's the name of the radio show, you can receive 22% off the price, and it works out at about £50, which in dollars I think is about $75 roughly with the exchange rate, but usually it's about £65, which I think is about $90, so you save a little bit. And also, including with that, when we connect with your angels, I also make up a little personalised angel chakra blend in a spray bottle for you to use as well. And that includes postage as well to anywhere in the world. So if you want to if you want to take advantage of that, then all you got to do is go to facebook.com/angelchakra444 and send me a message on there, and I can give you all the details. So again, so if you want to connect with any of Sophia's courses and the challenges coming up in the new year, which are absolutely fantastic and I highly recommend them, please go to sophiawren.com. Okay, I want to wish everyone a fantastic and very happy new year, and enjoy the rest of the week and the beginning of the year. And I want to say a huge thank you to Sophia for joining me today's call. It's been a fantastic call. Thank you ever so much for joining me. And I'll be back.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll be back on the 13th of January with a brand new guest and a brand new year. So happy new year, everyone. And thanks for tuning in. Bye for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.